Father God, we thank you for Duncan. We thank you that he is a child of yours. And we thank you that we, as brothers and sisters of his, that as we hear him speaking tonight, that it may be Duncan's voice, but that it would be your words, the Father's words to us. And so we pray that we would all be open to that, to hear and to respond. Amen.
It's really, really nice to be here with you tonight. And if you don't know me, I'm Duncan. I live in Horsforth and have done so since 1995, and do all kinds of different things. Was a youth worker, which means I really like interaction. So beware. I'm married to Jo, and we have two lovely girls who occupy us very fully and reduce. I used to play all kinds of things like golf and football and cricket, and then I had kids. And now I play table football and tennis, table tennis. But no. But my wife is a charismatic Catholic, and so sometimes I go to Mass, and in the middle of the Mass, they always have this moment where they offer the peace. And do you know what? I would really like us to offer the peace to one another tonight. Because part of what I want to say tonight is to say that actually our relationships really, really matter. Our relationships really, really matter. Maybe you or others looked at the service sheet and heard that Duncan Stowe was coming to speak, and that's why a few people have stayed away. Maybe you thought the opposite, but actually we're meeting together tonight as the people of God. And in a strange sort of way, we're all as important as each other in coming before God in our worship. And so, I'm a youth worker. I'm married to a Catholic. I'm asking for some grace here. But I would love you, I would love us, just to go and greet one another. And if you want just to say hello, if you don't know someone's name, ask their name. If you just want to say peace, peace of the Lord be with you, that would be lovely. But let's do that, because I think it's important that when we meet together, we meet each other. All right? So.
That's great. That's great. Yes.
I quite enjoyed our fire alarm. You know, I've just read a book all about leading worship and the different ways in which you can lead worship. Well, what a lovely way that was of bringing us all together, wasn't it? I'll have to try that. We'll try that at Crag. We normally do it at Pentecost, our fire alarm, because we think it's fitting. But there you go. As I say, the title I got for today was an introduction to 2 Timothy, so a whole book that we're looking at. And so there's some big themes and some little themes, which I just want us to look at broadly. But I want us to reflect tonight about relationships, and relationships which invest themselves in others. Relationships which invest themselves in others. And I want you to think for a moment about some of the relationships that have perhaps invested in you, in your life. Who are the people who have poured out some time, some energy, some wisdom, some love into you? When I was at school, and it was still, secondary school was still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 form, and I was the last kind of cohort who went through before it changed to 7, 8, 9. So I was you have to do the translation. But I was in year three, and we had a physics teacher called Mr. Hayes. We found it very funny that we found out his surname was Rodney. I don't know why, but we liked that. But he was the most terrifying of all the teachers. We had him on a Monday morning, and then we had to hand in our homework on a Wednesday. And my friend Gray said to me, I have one day of the week where I rest. I said, what's that? He said, it's Thursday. You see, because on Friday I start to worry about that physics lesson with Mr. Hayes. And then after we have the lesson, I'm panicking about getting my homework done. And when I hand my homework in on Wednesday, I have a whole day where I relax. He had this sort of, this fear that we were all under. And I remember at the end of year three, we were sat in our year group assembly being told who our form tutor would be. There we were, 3B. It was announced 3B's form tutor will be Mr. Hayes. Laughter broke out amongst all the other children except the 30. Suddenly, we went into this form as terrified 14, 15-year-olds who had 2 years of meeting twice daily with the most frightening teacher in the school. The funny thing is that as you got to know him, you realised that he really cared about you. Now, there is the story in year three of him slamming the book down on the table of the person next to me and going, woof, 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 woof. My dog could have done better than that. As his saliva came across us, ducking and diving. But he cared that we did our best. And isn't it funny how many teachers totally change characters when you go into sixth form and suddenly you see this wholly different person. And Mr. Hayes, Rodney Hayes, came to be known as one of the people who we thought most fondly of because he gave and invested in us and he cared about us and he wanted us to succeed and he cheered us on and okay, dare we walk in even when the bell was ringing that was late because he was old school. Deep down, he was a big softy. He was a father figure to many of us because he poured himself out and wanted the best for us. Do you know Paul? When we think of Paul, well, he's a bit edgy, isn't he? He says things which we're not always comfortable with what he says. He challenges the people in the Bible times and he challenges us now with what he says. He sort of, sometimes it feels like he's shouting through the scriptures. You know, he's the kind of gladiator. He was the guy who goes in where there's a mob and says, let me speak to them. I see Paul as this kind of, this on his own type of guy, fighting the cause for the gospel. And, you know, whoever would get in his way, well. But actually, this letter to Timothy that you're about to open up paints a different picture of Paul. Paul clearly is passionate about the good news. He's passionate about his message. But actually, in his writing to Timothy here, we see the fatherness, the mentor, to his spiritual son, Timothy. We see a softer side to Paul. Paul is, in some ways, as I read this over and over again at the beginning of the week, I kind of got this impression of this was Paul giving Timothy and those around Timothy a hug and saying, here I am to towards the end of my life, and it's reckoned that Paul was in his second spell in prison in Rome and pretty much on death row. And he was writing this letter as his last words to his friend, his much younger friend and disciple. It's a bit like, in some ways, because Paul is almost, I think, giving a bit of a fist pump to Timothy and saying, "Go on, I've lived it, now you live it." Anyone seen the nearly new Leeds United logo? I think that's Paul. All right, he's saying, "Go on." Paul's saying, "I believe in you, Timothy." And we're going to fast track through how Paul does that. Paul, in this letter, affirms Timothy. He says, "I thank God," verse 1-3, "night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." Further on, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." Further on, also in Timothy 1:14, "Guard the good deposit that's in you." Timothy 3, "Continue in what you've already learned." Paul is saying to Timothy, "I can see God is in you. I can see God is in you. I wonder if there's somebody who's saying that to us, who's saying that to you, who's affirming you." Because Paul knew the importance for Timothy of that Timothy was affirmed. We need that encouragement. We need somebody believing in us. Timothy goes on and he pours out lots of advice in this letter. Keep good company. Chapter 2, avoid godless chatter. It says, live your life, says, as an instrument for special purposes. Don't waste your time on unnecessary things. In the scripture we read, keep your head in all circumstances. Keep your head. You know, Paul had been in some pretty tricky situations. So keep your head. Don't lose the plot. These are the things I've learned. And all the way through this letter, Paul's giving his advice to Timothy. But he's also remembering that Timothy and him have spent time in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra. They've spent time together where Timothy has seen how Paul has lived. How important, how much more do we learn from spending time with people than simply hearing what they say? We might get a tape series of teaching, which can be really, really helpful. And Paul has written lots and lots of letters. But for Timothy, he's reminding him, he said, "Listen, you've seen me, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, the persecutions, the sufferings, what kinds of things happen to me. You've seen it. You've seen how I lived. I've role modelled something to you. As for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those who you know those from whom you learnt it." He's saying, "Listen, I've been a role model to you. Follow what you saw in me. Follow what you saw in me." Who are our role models in the faith? who's sort of giving you some sort of vision, just very simply by how they're living their life? Are there role models who give you a bit of courage to walk forward in your faith? And finally, I think Paul in 2 Timothy is passing the baton. He's passing the baton to Timothy, saying, listen, I'm coming to the end of my life. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Going back to Timothy 1, for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift that I've given you. In this letter, Paul's saying, listen, I've lived it. My time is coming to an end. I want to give you the baton. Now you run with it. Now you run with it. And of course, that's the call of all of us as a church. Jesus, you know, Jesus at the in the Great Commission is basically saying, now it's your turn. Go and make disciples. It's over to you. And Paul's doing this again to Timothy. I want you to carry the baton. And I think Paul trusts Timothy. He really trusts him to do that. His relationship is one which role models something. His relationship with Timothy is one which believes in Timothy. It gives him advice. And it says, go on. Have a go. It's your turn. Don't hold back. Fan into flame that gift. For God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. But gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Right at the end of his letter, Paul says, please come. Come visit. I want to see you. Because our relationship is important. I think in this letter we see a softer side of Paul. We see the apostle who really wants to pass on his faith as one person to another. And I think there's a saying, isn't there, in the church, that faith is more caught than it is taught. It's more caught than it is taught. Which is why I want you to go and shake hands. Which is why I want you to go and meet each other. Which is why I want you to spend time with one another. Our relationships can really encourage us. But this is also true. As much as building a really good community of relationships, Paul is really keen to point out that to Timothy, keep looking to Christ. Keep looking to Christ. He says this, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. It says, if we died in him, we'll also live with him. If we endure with him, we'll also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And listen, there is a crown of righteousness in store for all. I'm about to receive it, he says. I'm about to get my crown. Follow this way, Timothy, and you too will receive your crown one day. That's my quick overview of 2 Timothy. Never been asked to try and do a book. I'm glad it was only 4 chapters, and so are you. It could have been worse. But just for a moment, I want to take this Paul-Timothy relationship this affirming, this advising, this role modelling, this passing the baton relationship. And I want us to reflect about our own relationships in church. I want us to think what it might mean to us. And the first thing that I want us to think about is this. I think you might be surprised by the amount you encourage other people. I think you might be surprised by the amount you encourage other people. Just by being here, I don't want to overplay that, but just by being here tonight, you are encouraging one another. A little word of encouragement might come at a key point in time. I, as a young Christian, converted in sixth form and went to university, realised that was hard work, dropped out quite quickly, went off to work in Yugoslavia for a year, back with the church, with refugees. And I went to Lister Hill Baptist Church at the time, who were sending me, and they tried to support me. And then I went to my home church, where I'd recently become a Christian, in Sheffield, and I gave this very nervous presentation about what I was doing. There was a gentleman who was the parent of someone who'd been in my youth group. I didn't know him overly well. And he came up to me and he said, "Duncan, that was really good." Now, I was definitely knew that it wasn't really, really good. It was a nervous, it was a twitchy presentation. I'd not quite said what I'd want. I'd felt insecure and all those things. But he said, "No, I'm really good. I saw your heart. Is there any way I can help you? We'd really like to support you." And he said, "If you send me a newsletter," because this is before email, "I'll post it out to everyone." And so from Slovenia, I sent these newsletters, handwritten newsletters, and he received them and he sent them to everyone. And then he would often just drop me a letter back. You know, it'd take 2 weeks, the whole process, just saying, "You know, thank you for the newsletter. That was really, really good. It was really encouraging." And you know what, it made a massive difference to hear that. And when I came back, he came and met me, and he'd obviously really read what I'd done. He really knew what I'd done, and he affirmed me. And it was significant. There were other people. One lady sent me some tapes with Christian music on to encourage me. Somebody else wrote to me regularly, and it made a massive difference. None of those three people were close friends, but they were Christians. They were brothers and sisters in the church. And they realized that actually they could offer to encourage me. They could do that. A smile, a kind word, the offer of a meal, even praying. We don't know how much we can encourage people. I have a couple who are in their 90s now who still love the Lord. And do you know what? That matters to me. Because it says to me that when I'm 90, there's going to be something exciting following Jesus. It matters. Your faith matters. Who and how can you encourage one another? Don't wait to be invited. You don't need to overstep the mark, but don't wait to be invited. Purpose. I talked about Paul saying all our relationships should lead us to Christ, could point us to Christ. Christ is our first relationship. When we travel to South Africa, we sometimes go with Kalula Airlines. They've got a sense of humour. They say this in a South African accent, which I might have a go at. But anyway, when the oxygen masks drop down, South Africa, right, we're there. And is anyone from South Africa? I'm not going to offend anyone here, am I? If you have children, okay, if you have more than one children, please fix the oxygen mask to yourself first. And now is the time to choose your favourite child. Which one will you pick? But the point is, get the oxygen yourself first. You have to. You can't help someone else if you don't have oxygen. You can't resuscitate anyone else with life if you don't have oxygen yourself. And in all our relationships, our primary call is to have our own relationship with Christ. And we might want lots of people to be encouraged by us. We might want lots of people to follow us in our way, but we can't control others. And for Paul, there were lots of disappointment. There were lots of people who actually didn't stick with him. And he's reminding Timothy, keep your eyes focused on Christ. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. The primary thing is that you have this relationship with Christ. And our relationship should be encouraging each other to have a deeper relationship with Christ. I came up to Leeds with a very charismatic leader invited me. He was a remarkable guy. And I remember as I came up, invited by him, I had a check in my spirit which said, do not follow him, follow Jesus. He doesn't follow the Lord anymore. It breaks my heart. And I watched two or three people lose their faith over that. Make sure we put the oxygen mask on us first. Make sure in all we're doing in terms of our relationships, in trying to encourage others, we're keeping our relationship with Christ as our primary relationship. Mother Teresa said this. She said, we are not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. We're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. And maybe some of you feel disappointed. Maybe others haven't responded as you would have liked them to. You don't know the effect of your life on them in the long term, but your call is to be faithful to Jesus and trust him with the rest. As we try and build a church, that's really important. Finally, I said faith is more caught than taught. Paul longed to spend time with Timothy. I want to just say to us, how are we deepening our relationships with one another? How are we making time? Because I think proximity is really important. Proximity is really important. Cups of tea and coffee, I think, at the end of the church are really important. Going out and spending time with others, I think, is really, really important. And it's my observation when I look round at Crag that many people who are doing well in the faith are in house groups, or in prayer triplets, or they're in some sort of group where they're getting nourishment and encouragement and they're moving each other on. But it's also true that some people are in groups which are stagnant and there's no movement, and they're like a bit of a pool where they come and they reinforce stuff. And it's really important in our Christian faith that we make sure that we let other voices in. maybe this year the challenge is to go somewhere which is outside your comfort zone. If you're in a group, do it together. If you're on your own, go and hear someone else speak in a different context. Go and meet people. Lots of people went out to see Mother Teresa. It's interesting, I've sort of read quite a few books of people who went to spend time with her and the impact that had on them. Spending time with people. This year, as a family, we've made a bit of a step to go to Spring Harvest, because we just think we need to put ourselves as a family in an environment where we can be stretched and grow and see the Spirit move in a different way to what we see it move at Crack. On Thursday, we had a day of prayer for Christian leaders in Horsforth. And somebody had written to the leaders and said, what can we pray for? And one of the leaders, who's been quite ill, said a few things. But the thing he said which struck me, he said, pray that my love for the parish would grow deeper. And I thought, it's such a simple thing, but actually that's what our love for our church. Let's pray that our love for other church and those around us would grow deeper, that we would enjoy spending time with one another, that even though we're a bit strange to one another, even though we're a bit different, even though we don't all support Leeds United and know the right way, okay, actually that love of Christ means that we want to spend time. I thought that was just a lovely prayer for a guy who had lots going on in his life. Just pray that I would love my parish more. Paul loved Timothy. And this book, this 2 Timothy, is all about his love for Timothy and in Timothy for the church. I hope you really enjoy reading it. Let's pray and then we'll finish with a couple of songs. Father, we thank you. We thank you for how much Paul poured out of his life for the church. But we thank you within all the things that he did, that he clearly loved individuals like Timothy very much. And he poured himself out into them. Lord, we pray for us tonight, that you would show us how we can encourage one another. That you would show us how we already are encouraging one another. And that you'd give us a greater love for the church. Help us to fan into flame the gift that you've given us. That Jesus, you would be exalted and lifted high in this city and beyond. Amen.